On previous day, Hyeroji answered the questions about Satipatthana one by one, in however he can, according to the teaching of the Buddha, in the tradition of the late Venerable Mahasi Hyeroji. And today is the turn to answer the 14th question. The question is, at what age one should start? And the question is quite short. And the question is, at what age does one need to start the Satipatthana practice? So yogis should answer what they think of. What do you think about the answer? Whether at what age among the three kind of ages? So they should answer in their mind what they think the answer is. In order to attain the supramundane knowledge, one should practice when one comes of age. The lifespan should be divided by three parts. And during the Buddha's time, people had the lifespan of 100 years. So divided by three, the first part of the life will be 33 years and 4 months. Second part of the life will be from 33 years and 4 months to 66 years and 8 months. And the third part of the age will be onwards, 66 months and 8 onwards till 80 and so on. And among these three parts of life, three parts of age, it is best to practice at the first part of one's life within the 33 years. But nowadays, the lifespan of people are not 100, no longer 100. It's about 75 years, so one should divide the lifespan of 75 years by three, and the first part of the life is the best for practice. Second part of life, in the second part of life, the health starts to decline, and in the last part of life, the health deteriorates. So whether it is a lay person or a monk, the best age to practice is the first part of one's life, where one has the strength physically, mentally, as well as the health is good, and one can forbear the tiredness, and also one can eat well, one's body is strengthened, as well as the mind. When one is still sharp, one should practice Satipatthana where one has all these favorable conditions. And by practicing at the first part of one's life, where all these conditions are favorable, one can attain the supramundane knowledge, and one will discern very clearly, distinctly. And at the second part of life, things start to decline, and the third part of life, more decline. And it is not easy to practice at the third part of one's life. And Hyeroji explained one true story which took place during the Buddha's time. There was one rich person. The parents were very rich, and the parents did not give the son the education. He was the only son, And the parents thought that he does not need to learn anything because their riches, their property are enough for one's, the son's life. So the parents thought that the property they have will not, it will not end. It will not, it is sufficient for the son's life, lifetime spendings. So they did not bother to give him education or anything, and he spent his time with fun, dancing, singing, having fun, taking alcohol, and so on. And when he comes of age, he was married to, he was married to a girl, and also his wife happened to be the only daughter in the family. And the same thing, the wife's parents did not give her education, and both of them are not educated. They are illiterate. While the parents were still living, things were going smooth because the parents were taking care of them. But when the parents from both sides passed away, they did not know how to keep this property because both of them were illiterate and they do not know how to do business. They do not know how to spend wisely. So they were squandering, spending, and they were also lacking moral conduct. And they team up with people who drink, and they themselves become addicted to alcohol, and all their riches were gone. So they had to loan their house, and they could not get it back, and they had to go begging. Both sides were very rich, but because they were not taught anything, they were illiterate, they could not keep their property, and they squandered everything they had. And when they grow old, they had nothing left that they had to beg. So when they were old, they had nothing left, so they were destitute, and they had to beg here and there. And they came to the monastery where Buddha was. They were begging for the leftovers. And Buddha saw them, and Buddha smiled. And Venerable Ananda asked why the Buddha smiled. And Buddha said, look at that destitute old couple. They were rich. They had billions of dollars, and they had perfection. If they happen to practice Satipatthana in their first part of life, the husband would have become an arahat, the wife would have become anagami. And if they did business, they would have become the top richest persons. And if they practiced Satipatthana meditation at the second part of life, the husband would have become anagami, the wife would have become sakadagami. And if they did business, they would have become the middle class rich people. And they passed these two parts of life doing nothing, so they did not achieve anything. And even if they had practiced at the third part of their life, the husband would have become Sakadagami and the wife would have become Sotapanna. And if they had done business in their last part of life, they would have become rich. But they did not do anything. They did not practice and they did not make business. They spent all their life doing nothing beneficial. So all their property had gone and they missed the very precious opportunity of attaining the supermundane knowledge. So they lost everything because they did not take advantage of their good circumstances in order to practice or in order to make money. So the example is given here. There is a kind of bird who feeds on fish, and the bird happens to rely on the same pond, thinking that there will be fish all season. But when the water dries out, the fish in the pond are already gone. The bird is very old that he did not have feathers, so he could not fly away to go to another place where fish are abundant. So the bird had to just sit with a long face, being destitute with nothing to eat. So the couple who did not do anything while they had the opportunity, they also become destitute with no achievement in the Dhamma or the worldly achievement at all. And they were just like the old bird who had no feather to fly to get the fish. And people should be careful and they should not think that I will practice when I grow old. So the parents need to have their duty towards the children. There are five kinds of duty that the parents should do towards their sons and daughters. The first one is to forbid from wrongdoings. So parents should teach what are the dukkha, the evil conduct, and they should teach not to do. They should teach their sons and daughter to refrain from these wrongdoings, just as the unsuitable food should be avoided. And parents should teach their young what are the good conduct they should perform. And the third is, parents should give their children education. And the fourth is, parents should share their belongings with their children. They should give inheritance as well as sharing the property to the sons and daughters. And the fifth is to see to it that the sons and daughter will have good marriage with good people. And in the story, the parents did not teach the son and daughter the education. They only taught them to sing, to dance, to have fun. And the parents did not teach them what things to refrain from. So the couple end up being drunkards. Only if the parents are well behaved, the sons and daughters will be well behaved. In order to make sons and daughters be well behaved, the parents should be well behaved. And only if the parents are well behaved, the children will be well behaved. If the parents are not well behaved, the children will not be well behaved. And in the story, the parents did not teach them anything, and they were lacking the duty of the parents. They were lacking the duty to prohibit the sons and daughters from wrongdoings, and they failed the duty to teach them to perform good conduct, and they also failed to educate their children. So one should teach the sons and daughters what are the bad actions and to teach them to refrain from these wrongful actions so that they will not get bad consequences, just as unsuitable food should be avoided. And just as nutritious food should be taken in the same way, parents should teach their children what good action, what good conduct they should do in order to gain benefit. So in this way, out of compassion, karuna, the parents should teach their children what are the wrongful action one should avoid. And with metta, loving kindness, the parents should teach their children the good conduct, what should be performed. But nowadays, parents give priority to the academic education of the children. And parents themselves, most of them, have not practiced Satipatthana meditation, so they could not lead their children to the Satipatthana practice to cultivate the mind and the knowledge. They do not have plans for their sons and daughters for Satipatthana practice. They are just giving priority to the academic education to have high IQ. So the children are lacking EQ, and the children do not have any control. And it is because the parents fail to do the duty of the parents towards the children. And the children also are failing their duty towards their parents. And everything is going bad. Nowadays, most of the countries throughout the world, the parents are giving priority to the IQ, as well as the teachers are also giving priority to IQ. And children are lacking moral conduct, and they are lacking the emotional intelligence. And they are at a loss, and they do not know where to begin. And the young have no control of themselves, and they are morally degraded. Daniel Goleman wrote the book on emotional intelligence, writing that one should give priority to the EQ instead of the IQ. And he made a research that among the people who are successful, only the 25% are successful because of their high IQ, whereas the 75% are successful because of their high EQ. So Daniel Goleman from Massachusetts are making this point to give priority to the EQ. And Saraji is glad to hear this that he is making this point that people should give priority to the EQ. And he mentioned that people who had good EQ have their six qualities. The first one is the self-evaluation. They know who they are. They know themselves. And the second is they have a control of their emotions. And the third is they had good conduct. And the fourth is they have compassion towards others. The fifth is they are glad to see, they have positive thinking, they are glad to see when they are glad to see the good points or good aspects of other people. And number six is they have the right thinking, positive thinking. So these are the six qualities of people who have EQ. The writer Daniel Goleman, as well as his wife, practiced Satipatthana meditation when the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji conducted the retreat in the U.S. The couple practiced Satipatthana meditation whenever the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji came to teach in the U.S. So they know the benefits of Satipatthana practice, and he could write because he practiced Satipatthana meditation and he knew from his practice what are the nature of people who have good EQ due to the practice. So he could write because he himself has practiced Satipatthana meditation to a satisfactory level, as well as his wife. When the people come to Burma to practice Satipatthana meditation in the winter months of December and January, the yogis who came from all over to practice made comments after their practice. So they made a comment that only now I know how to eat. Only now I know how to live. Only now I have a home. And they made a comment that Satipatthana meditation is the best export of Burma. They made these comments after they practiced Satipatthana meditation, and they expressed how they felt openly after their practice. So during the Buddha's time, the ones who practiced Satipatthana meditation to a satisfactory level in their first part of their life, they realized the taste of the Dhamma and the quality, the virtue of the Dhamma. And when they get married and when they have a baby in their womb, they go to the Buddha to entrust the baby to the Buddha, and the mother takes the three refuges, Buddham, Saranam, Gacchami, and so on. So in this way, the mother takes the three refuges for the fetus that she has, knowing the virtue of the Dhamma. So because the parents, especially the mother, wanted the Buddhist genes to her fetus, she takes the triple gem, she takes refuges from the time she conceived a baby. And when the baby is born, she takes the newborn baby to the Buddha to take the refuge again. So in this way, While the baby was in the womb, she takes the refuge. And while the baby is born, she takes refuge for the newborn baby. In order to give the Satipatthana genes to the baby. So at the time when the baby was in the mother's womb or at the time of the newly born has not become Upasaka or Upasika, they have not become lay disciple yet, but due to the taking of refuge by the mother, they do not have harm and they also get the genes of good moral conduct from the mother. And when the child comes of age, when the mother reminds the child that when he or she was in the mother's womb, the mother had taken the three refuges on his or her behalf. And at the newborn age, the mother had taken the refuges. And when the mother explains to the son or the daughter, when the son or daughter accepted, agreed, then the child becomes automatically a lay disciple without having to recite Buddham Saranam Gacchami again. So this is how the parents give their Buddhist culture genes to their children. And Saraji says it would be good if parents from these modern times do the same. So it would be good if mothers from all over the world practice Satipatthana meditation before they get married so that they could give the Satipatthana genes to their children. So if the genes are good, the children will get this good Satipatthana gene from their parents. So just as when the seed is good, the tree will grow, the tree will give fruit that are good. In the same way, if the seeds are no good, the tree will not be good and the tree will not give good fruits. So in the world, people are lacking culture, even though they are human being, but they are not true human. They don't have a humane mind. They are not extraordinary human because they are lacking the moral conduct. So the question is when or what age one should start Satipatthana practice? When the mother has conceived a baby, or when the child is newly born, they should give the Satipatthana gene to the child. And at the newly born age, the child starts to see, to hear, so the mother should give the child the Satipatthana gene. The parents should give the child the Satipatthana genes. And when the mother is nursing the baby, while nursing the baby, the mother should contemplate the Satipatthana so that the mother gives the habit of Satipatthana to the child. And when the child becomes three years old, the mother can start teaching at the age of three. The child becomes inquisitive, and to put it in the Western way, the brain starts to develop. So it is the good age to teach the child from the age of three to have the good foundation. At the age of seven or nine, the child can practice Satipatthana meditation and attain the Supramande knowledge. During the Buddha's time, there were four people, 4% who were 5 year old, they ordain at the 5 years age, and they practiced, and there was 4 of the 5 year old arahats. They became arahat at the age of 5. So at the age of 5, they ordained, practiced meditation, they removed all the defilements, and they became arahats. There were 4 of them. They had great parami. They were exceptional people who were extraordinary. And there are many 7-year-old arahats during the Buddha's time. In Burma, the Buddhist culture training course, we have the trainees who start coming from the age of 9. So these Buddhist culture trainees, they learn the theory as well as they do part-time practice so that they get good habit. And when they come of age, when they practice Satipatthana meditation, they can gain supramundane knowledge. So through the practice of Satipatthana, having moral conduct, one will be true human. When the mind is calm, collected, one will have a humane mind. And by cultivating knowledge, one will become extraordinary person. So it is important that one understands the benefits of Satipatthana practice. Even if one does not plan for many, but one should start doing planning within one's own family. Saraji encourages that they do planning, Satipatthana planning, within one's own family. At the age of 3, the child starts to be inquisitive, asking questions, what it is, why is it, and their brain starts to develop. So from the age of 3, the mother should start teaching so that the child can absorb better. Just as the child needs to be nourished with nursing so that the child will not be malnourished, in the same way, the mother should teach their young from young age so that the child will not be malnourished in the Buddhist culture, so that they are ready to absorb more Buddhist culture when they get older. And Saraji gives the example of Jewish family. Jewish family teach their young at the age of 3 the Jewish belief and the Jewish tradition for 10 years. And they teach their young to have metta, loving kindness towards others, to have compassion towards others. And when they are about 13 years old, they have quite foundation of the Jewish belief and Jewish traditions. So the example is that the Jewish people, they start to teach their young since the child is 3 years old, the age where the brain develops. So it is a good habit to teach the young from the age of 3. And nowadays, when the parents have practiced Satipatthana meditation, when they value the practice, they send their children to learn the theory and practice. And when the family happens to go abroad to live there, Saraji asks them, what benefits do they get by sending their children to learn the Buddhist culture in theory and practice when they were back in Burma? And they replied that they can control themselves, meaning that they can refrain themselves from wrongdoings by body, speech, and mind. So having a good control of one's body, speech, and mind, one will be true human, one will have humane mind, and one will become extraordinary person. Controlling one's physical, verbal, mental behavior, refraining from wrongdoings by body, speech, and mind. One does not give trouble to others. One protects others from being hurt. So it is good for both, and the world will become peaceful and pleasant. By having a good control of oneself, one is keeping one's own world peaceful as well as contributing peace in the surrounding. So in the family, where the family practice Satipatthana meditation to a satisfactory level, and if the family has a daughter who have come of age, and if somebody asks the daughter's hand in marriage, the parents will say that if you want my daughter, you need to practice Satipatthana meditation first. So in this way, the parents made sure that the groom have practiced Satipatthana meditation to a satisfactory level before he marries the daughter. So as the groom had practiced Satipatthana meditation before marriage, as well as the daughter had practiced, and when they get married and when they have children, the children also have good genes in them because both the parents have practiced Satipatthana meditation to a satisfactory level. So it will be good to bring up a new world where every family practice Satipatthana meditation, and the parents who have practiced Satipatthana meditation will bring up new generation of children who practice. So if that new world become into reality, people will not be fighting among each other, among one group and another, or between one nation and another. So the problems will be solved. The world will be peaceful and pleasant. So it is very important to give the Satipatthana gene. From the time the fetus is conceived in the mother's womb, as well as when the child is a newborn, till he or she comes of age. So in this way, Satipatthana gene should be given from the time the child is conceived in the mother's womb, and also a newborn child, and till he or she comes of age. So may you all be able to create this new world where Satipatthana flourish, and let us create and march towards this new world where Satipatthana flourish. And this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.